It's radio time with the Purdue University School of the Air. And today it's time for Your Indiana. Yes, it's Your Indiana. Programs for those who love Indiana, with their natural beauty and rich resources, and who are determined to conserve those gifts so that they will be even more plentiful in the years to come. Today's program, entitled Babe in the Woods, dramatizes some of Indiana's folklore, beloved by Hoosiers everywhere. For what Hoosier has not heard of Paul Bunyan and his great blue ox, Babe? Featured on today's program, as usual, is T.E. Shaw, Associate Professor of Forestry here at Purdue. Come along, won't you, and hear about the Babe in the Woods. Ted, was there really a man named Paul Bunyan? Did he really have a big blue ox named Babe? And did he roam all through the Midwest, even here in Indiana?
Well, now, perhaps we'd better take one question at a time. You want to know if Paul Bunyan really was a person? Well, he was as much a person as Santa Claus is, which is to say he is if you count the people who are alive in your heart. And the same holds true of his ox, Babe. But Babe wasn't always blue, you know.
He wasn't? Well, I always thought he was. What color was he then?
It's a long story, so I'll tell it.
Good. How does it begin?
Well, first of all, you have to know about the prophecy. The prophecy that swept through the forest one day. The little birds knew it first of all.
For a thousand years, it's been foretold. What are you saying? It's been foretold that when the next blue moon comes, there'll also come a great hero who will free the trees from their world-old imprisonment.
Do you suppose it's true? It's really too bad the trees have to stand rooted in the same place all their monotonous lives. I shouldn't like it all to be a tree and have to stand still.
And it wasn't long before the word swept through the forest that when the next blue moon should come, then would come also a hero, mighty of arm, and so tall he could easily shake the loftiest pine trees. His face would be forever young and full of laughter, and he would take the trees to see the world. Now, the trees were overjoyed to hear the words that reached them. Pine and oak, walnut and elm, all were very happy. They could hardly wait for the hero to come. But night after night fell, and still the moon showed only a silver face. Never was it the longed-for blue, until at last the trees became discouraged. They lost hope and felt that the prophecy would never come true.
All this old talk about us ever seeing the blue moon is foolish. Only one blue moon comes in 1,000 years. My grandfather was alive when the last blue moon came and played across the heavens. It will be many, many years before another will come. We may as well be content with our imprisonment. I've stood in this same place now for 250 years, and you, Red Pine, you've been there 200 years. Aren't you tired, too, of watching the same sun come up every day, the same stars every night, the same birds nest in your branches every season with their silly chatter? I'm so tired of it all. And there'll never be a blue moon, never.
Old Granddaddy Pine, you don't know it all. Just you wait. The blue moon will come, and all we fir trees know it. And when it comes, we shall have freedom. You just wait and see.
Silly young fir trees. You need to listen to your elders more. Now, when I was young, Ceiling, why, I always listened to what the older trees told me. You can learn a lot from what they said.
But the young fir trees were right. For even then, there was growing up on the other side of the inland lakes a boy. The strangest boy anyone had ever heard of. His name was Paul Bunyan. And he had the blackest hair and the bluest eyes that ever were. There was a big dimple in his shining red cheek, and the corners of his mouth were always turned up. The strangest thing about him, though, was that he was growing at the rate of 6 inches a day. And at the end of the week, he was 349 pounds heavier than he'd been the week before.
My gosh, he must have been immense.
Oh, he was. He was so big, in fact, that he had to add a dozen feet or so of length to his house every week, along with an extra story to make it large enough. One night, Paul had a dream. A dream that made him laugh and laugh. And
laugh. What a funny dream that was. I dreamed I was the boss of the largest logging camp there ever was. Covered 22 square miles, just the camp itself. And the ox. Was that a funny thing? I dreamed that I was leading an enormous blue ox that took the tops of a dozen of the tallest spruces in a single bite. Why, that brute was so huge he measured the length of 47 axe handles and a plug of tobacco between the eyes. Why, I had to have a telescope when I was leading him to see what his hind legs were doing. When he ran, he covered a mile at a single step. Imagine that. A blue ox, too.
But almost before Paul had finished speaking, he began rubbing his eyes and pinching his great arms and kicking the end of a log furiously with his bare toes. He couldn't believe his eyes. For there, right in front of him, was the head of an enormous ox.
Was it blue?
No, it wasn't. It was red. And so big that its head filled one whole end of Paul's huge cabin.
What an ox!
And it had green eyes, which looked at Paul with love. And then the ox stuck out its tongue and gave Paul a wet kiss right across his dimpled cheek, just like a dog. And when the ox did that, Paul knew it was his friend. He shouted, "Babe," he said, "your name shall be Babe." And he patted the ox's face, and Babe the ox smiled as if to say, "That's a nice name, Babe."
But, Ted, you said Paul Bunyan has a blue ox, and this one was red.
Oh, but you haven't heard the rest of it. Paul started to work at once to build a stable for Babe. And what a stable. It was as high as the Woolworth Building in New York and 4.5 times as long. But even then, Babe could just get his head, neck, and forequarters in.
Talk about a big ox.
Well, before Paul could finish the stable, a strange spell of weather overtook him. He awoke early one morning to find...
Why, everything's blue. Oh, how funny. Oh, well, we do have strange weather here in Indiana sometimes. Anyhow, I've got to gather that moss for Babe. Goodness me. What on earth is this? Geese, a whole flock of them. No, it must be all the geese in the world. And, oh, it couldn't be. But it is. They're blue, all blue. What's this against my shins? Why, it's a moose. No, I shouldn't say a moose. It's a whole herd of them. And here comes some more. Well, I know what I'll do with them. I'll just fill my pockets full of them. That's what I'll do. Here now, here. Hold still, you. Here, hold still. What's this tickling me? Why, it's a black bear, I do believe. Scratching my ankle, he is. Come on, up you go, up in the folds of my beaver cap. Now you can settle down for your winter's nap. Y'all, I'll have to hurry and get home now. just got back and home in time before the storm broke. Ah, there it comes. But what's this? It's a snowstorm, all right, but the snowflakes are blue. I must be seeing things. This couldn't be possible.
And so Paul sat by the window and watched the blue snowflakes keep coming down to earth. By and by, he became so hungry, he pulled out 3 deer and a bull moose from his pocket, skinned them and broiled them on spits before the fire. By this time, he was so tired, and it was so dark that he fell asleep. How long he slept, he never knew. But when he woke, he was so hungry, he felt he must have been asleep at least a month. He got to his feet and went to the door and opened it. And what he saw fascinated him so that he simply leaned against the door for a full half day, imagining he was in the land of the blue fairies. Everywhere he looked, there was the sparkle of blue. The ground, the trees, the sky, everything was shining like sapphires. The air was so sweet and warm that it seemed to caress Paul. No, he just stood and leaned against the door, whistling a little tune.
Why, hello.
Hello, Paul.
Well, you said Paul. You knew my name.
Of course. I am the good spirit sent from the Blue Moon. You are in high favor. I am sent to bring you a message.
Gosh, you're pretty. Dressed all in blue like that.
Oh, thank you. But this message is for you. You shall never grow old. You shall always be a boy with a big heart. And you shall always be a dreamer. My special message is to tell you that with the coming of the spring, you are to go forth to free the forests from their long bondage. You are to carry them away so that they can see the rest of the world and become a part of it. For the past month, while you have been sleeping, the blue moon has been playing across the heavens. It has been foretold around the world for 1,000 years that with the coming of the blue moon, a great hero will also arise. You, Paul Bunyan, are that hero. Take Babe, the blue ox, with you wherever you go to be your helper and your companion. Your name is already written among the stars. You will be forever famous.
Wait, where are you going? Please don't go. I want to ask you some...
Remember these things, Paul.
But my babe is a red ox, not a blue ox. Whoever heard of a blue ox? I never... Why, Babe, whatever's happened to you? Your eyes are blue. Why, you're blue all over. Babe, she told the truth. She told us you'd be blue, and here you are. You are to be.
And so Paul knew that the beautiful blue maiden had told him the truth. Immediately, he decided he'd better get busy and invent some tools to suit him if he were going to be a lumberjack. Now, he wanted, first of all, an axe that would slash off 20 trees at a single stroke. So he took 27 axes and threw all of them into an intense fire. And then he hammered out an axe that was an axe. Its cutting edge measured 15 feet across.
But, Ted, where did he get an axe handle that was big enough?
Oh, that puzzled Paul for a while. But then he remembered seeing an enormous ironwood tree one day. So off he ran, grabbed hold of the tree, and with a single twist uprooted it. And that's what he used for his axe handle. It measured 47 feet and 17 inches, and it weighed nearly a ton.
That's a pretty fair-sized handle, Ted.
Old Paul always did things in a big scale. He and Babe always logged by 40s. Paul would just throw his log chain around 40 acres of timber, hook on to Babe, and the ox would drag the whole 40 acres into the mill. And if the trees were big ones, Paul would use the double-action harness he'd made from the hides of 250 deer. Why, Babe would make the haul during a rain, and the buckskin would stretch. And when they made camp, Paul would snub the traces to the side of a mountain. Then, when the sun came out, the buckskin would dry and contract, and it'd pull a whole load into camp. Yes, sir. But the stories about the logging camp Paul had are stories in themselves. You can find lots of them in your library. One story tells how he had the boys strap hams on their feet like skates. Then he taught them to skate on the huge griddle the cook used to fry pancakes. That was a quick, easy way to grease the griddle. And how the government made him stop blowing the horn calling his men to dinner because it caused cyclones. Oh, they're great stories, all right.
And did the trees get to go all over the world, Ted?
You bet they did. They became flagpoles in New York City and siding for homes in Georgia and woodwork on ocean liners. But do you know what?
No, what?
Well, the trees didn't like it after all. And they told the little birds, and the birds told the trees back in the North Woods. And then the trees in the woods were satisfied to stay where they were. Except, of course, unless another blue moon should come, bringing another Paul Bunyan. And then they'd want to roam again.
You know, Ted, I'm beginning to think that maybe, just maybe now, Paul Bunyan's stories are stretched a little.
You have just heard the last of a series of programs entitled Your Indiana, presented each week at this time. Heard on today's program were T.E. Shaw, Claire Stevenson, Joanne Alford, Alma Guyberson, Frank Modisette, Marv Fenton, and John Glade. Your Indiana is directed and produced by John Glade, and today's script was by Sarah Haas Long. Jim Paul Hamus handled sound and music, Bill Michaels was at the controls, Bill Tyson, the recording engineer. This is your announcer, Bob Blohm, reminding you that Your Indiana is another Purdue University School of the Air feature.